Well, it's kind of seems kind of difficult trying to get into a shift into this portion of the service with, you know, just praying for Israel and the war that's going on over there. But, you know, by God's grace, we're going to try to make that transition over. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. We've been having some issues with our sound on Facebook as well as recording, and I'm not sure if it's the lapel or something else, so I'll be trying to stay stationary tonight, try to use the pulpit mic, and hopefully that will help any kind of sound issues we may be having. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, and when you get there, signify it by saying a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. That sounds like the vast majority, so we'll go ahead and push forward at that. If I know it's just one verse and you're going to feel like you're doing up-downs, but go ahead, stand with me in honor and reverence of the Word of God as we read it here. Luke chapter 9, just one verse here this evening, verse number 23. And he, talking about Jesus, said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." As I'm looking forward to preaching a message this evening, continuing on in our discipleship series. And I'm calling this message, The Practical Stuff. The Practical Stuff. We're moving beyond the hypotheses of the abstract. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, the practical stuff. How can we live out this discipleship life? And I'm looking forward to getting in that here tonight. So may God bless the reading of His Word as you're seated. We'll continue on with the message here. Oh, I got to remember to stay up here. So for quite a few weeks now, we've been talking about disciples and discipleship here on Sunday evenings. And we spent a lot of time laying out the groundwork for being a disciple. If you recall, about four messages ago, I can't say 4 weeks ago because there was a couple week gap in there, but four Sunday evening messages ago that I preached, there we go, we spent a lot of time laying down the groundwork. We began first by defining what a Christian is. So what is a Christian? Well, it's someone who, first of all, has heard the good news of Jesus Christ. You can't be a Christian unless you've actually heard the gospel first. Secondly, be a Christian is someone who not only heard, but they believed it. They believed the gospel. Thirdly, it's someone who turns from the path that they're on and turns to the Lord. We call that process repentance. They've repented of their sins. It is someone who experiences the grace of God. They repented of their sins. They trusted in the sacrifice and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And they accepted Him as their Savior. God saved them. They experienced His grace. And then lastly, and this is not most importantly, but you can't leave this one out, a Christian is someone who becomes a disciple. It's kind of hard to be a Christian, a Christ follower, if you're not following Christ. So a Christian is someone who becomes a disciple. And then following that process, we took a look and defined what a disciple was. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Being a disciple requires a few things. Number one, it requires self-denial. You got to deny yourself. You got to prioritize Christ as number one in your life. Being a disciple also requires a total commitment. You can't straddle the fence on this whole discipleship thing. You're either a disciple or you're not. You got to be totally committed. And number three on that, being a disciple requires complete obedience. Obedience to what? Whatever I say. No, obedience to whatever God says. That's what a disciple is. And we talked about what the beginning of discipleship looks like when we talked about the first four disciples that Jesus called. We looked at that process. Number one, they were called, and then you remember they were fishing. When Jesus found them, he said, "Hey, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And so what they do? They let go of their nets. So first off, they were called. Secondly, they dropped their nets. They put their nets down. But after they laid their nets down, instead of reconsidering and like, "I don't know about this whole thing. I think I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing," and picking their nets back up. No, they let their nets down. Then they got out of the boat. They got out of the boat, and then they lastly began walking with Jesus. And that's the process, if you will, of becoming a disciple. We all have the thing that we like to hold to for control. Those are our nets. For some, it could be a career. It could be an education. It could be a hobby, anything at all, something that we're holding on to. But then Jesus comes along and says, hey, I want you to lay that net down. I want you to let go of control of your life, and I want you to let me be the one that controls it. A disciple is going to let go of those nets. They're going to get out of their boat, and they're going to follow Jesus Christ. And then we talked about a disciple's connection to Jesus. The last time that we preached on this, we talked about the disciple's connection to Jesus. We are to keep our connection to Jesus. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. You cannot bear fruit unless you are connected to the true vine. That's, if you recall, that's where we get our nutrition from. That's where we get our supply to even bear fruit in the first place. And if we want to stay alive, if we want to thrive, we need to abide within that connection. So we've done a lot of talking and looking at being a disciple, and we've kind of covered what we might call the theory of being a disciple. And I don't think we've left too much out of our theory, but so far you could argue it's all been theory. How is that tangible? A theory only can take you so far. At some point, you're going to have to put that theory into practice. And so that's where we're at here tonight. And so starting today, as we go through this series, we're going to be seeing how we can put all this stuff together into practice. How do we take all of this theory and make it practical? Real things, real steps that we can take to become the disciple that Jesus wants us to be. Because he wants you to be a disciple. He wants you to be a follower of him, and that's where we're headed. And so to do that, we're going to use a couple of verses that we've looked at throughout this study. And the first one is our text tonight, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I'll read it again just to refresh our minds. And he said unto them, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus tells us that if we want to follow him, we have to, number one, deny ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. Being a disciple means that we deny ourselves for Jesus. I could deny myself, but for what purpose? What would that achieve? Nothing. But if I deny myself for Jesus, well, now I can do something. Now I have a reason for denying myself. This doesn't mean that we lose our identity. You don't stop being you when you deny yourself for Jesus. It just simply means we're no longer our top priority. You know how we like to walk around, and we probably won't ever say this out loud, but most often we'll walk around and say, we're looking out for numero uno, looking out for number one. And that may not necessarily be our mindsets as Christians, but that's definitely the mindset of many people in our world. All they're concerned about is number one, themselves. But as a Christian, we cannot let that be the driving factor of our lives, because our top priority needs to be Jesus Christ. We want what he wants. Our world no longer centers on us and our wants. No longer are we so focused on what do I want to achieve with my life? What do I want to achieve with my goal? I was doing some reading. Actually, my wife read a quote to me the other night from A.W. Tozer. I mentioned it in our Bible study class this morning. But basically, we serve a God who can, I'm paraphrasing now, I'm not A.W. Tozer. But we serve a God who can do the impossible. We serve a God who can do literally anything, and yet when we plan our day, when we plan our week, we only plan the things that we can do in and of our own selves. We're completely leaving God out of the picture. We're taking God even out of the equation, and we're not even asking God to do something impossible in our lives. We're just saying, all right, what can I do? How can I schedule my week? And we'll go through and we'll budget in Bible reading time. We'll budget in time with God, and rightly so. But, and this was convicting for me when I just considered that thought, where in my schedule am I actually giving room for God to do something that only God can do? And so I was really encouraged when I heard that quote and had time to think about it. But ultimately, it boils down to this: I don't want to be the one running my life. I want God to be the one who is running my life? Again, our world no longer centers around us. We're no longer the central focus. We have changed. We are now driven by the things that drive Jesus, and we're centered on the desires of Jesus. So let's get serious and ask ourselves some hard questions. Who's looking forward now to asking yourself some hard questions? Hey, all right, Brother Jerry's ready. All right, here we go. Question number one. Is Jesus number one in your life? By the way, these are all rhetorical. Don't answer to me. Just ask yourself, is Jesus number one in your life? What do you need to do to make him number one in your life? What motivates you? Coffee. What motivates you? What motivates you to do what you do? If anything other than Jesus motivates you, then Jesus is not your priority. Why do I get up every day? Well, to earn a paycheck, to put a roof over my family's head. Or how about, why do we get up every day? To honor the Lord and serve him. And as a bonus, get a paycheck, put a roof over my family's head. You see the difference in the perspectives there? The priority on the second one is Jesus Christ. I get up to serve the Lord. Whatever that's going to look like, that's what we're going to do. But my purpose for living is serving Jesus Christ versus my purpose for getting up every day is, well, I got to work a job. I got to work a job. I got to pay the bills. The same outcome is happening. You're getting up and working, but your focus is vastly different on the two. Your life, if Jesus is not your motivator, then your life is not centered on Jesus. He may definitely be in it, but he's definitely not the center. What motivates us is what controls us. You wonder why some people make the decisions that they do. Well, it's because whatever it is that's motivating them is what drove them and led them to that decision. Well, if Jesus Christ is our center, if he's our motivator, then he's the one that we're going to be basing our decisions off of. Our life is centered on him. If we are not motivated by Jesus and our love for him, then we are not controlled by him. Now, probably all of us have a desire to be closer to Jesus. I sure hope you do. I hope you have a desire to be closer to Jesus. I have a desire to be closer to Jesus because I know there's plenty of room for me to grow. There's plenty of room for me to get closer to him. We want him to be number one in our lives, but let's just face it. We get distracted. Life happens. We get busy. We don't think about Jesus too awful much until he's the only option. Now, I'm not saying this to try to chastise anybody. This is just life. This is just how it is sometimes. So how do we break out of that cycle? Instead of just thinking critically about the whole thing and just, well, that's a bummer, huh? How do we get out of that cycle? How do we get to the point where Jesus is our natural first place to go? The key to discipleship, this will change your life now, is lordship. Lordship. Right there. That is the key to discipleship. Making Jesus Christ literally the Lord of your life. The king who you subject yourself to. And then that thought there leads us to our second Bible verse for this evening. John chapter 15, verse 5. We talked about this the last time. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. We can't do anything worth doing without Jesus. That's like the country version of that verse. We can't do anything worth doing without Jesus. So we need him in everything. We have to make him Lord, ruler, king. Every aspect of our lives, whether it's big or whether it's small, we have to make Jesus the Lord of it all. There is nothing, absolutely nothing in our lives where Jesus is not Lord. That is the position of a disciple. Jesus is your master. He's your king. He's your Lord. And when Jesus is Lord, there are at least three things that we'll find in our lives. Those three things are specifically love. Love. We'll find love. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Do you love your brother and sister in Christ? That's the mark of a disciple there. Secondly, obedience. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus again saying, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Ooh. The Bible will convict you if you read it. Amen. Thirdly, you'll find in your life fruit. John chapter 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You want to glorify God with your life? Produce fruit. And not just like fruit as in souls won to Christ. Definitely you want to try to produce those through witnessing, but more so the fruit of the Spirit. Bear fruit with your life. Use your talents and abilities for the Lord. Disciples have love. Disciples obey, and disciples produce fruit. Love produces obedience, and obedience produces fruit. So let's take a look at them one at a time in a little bit greater detail. First one, love. Biblical love. Love is a feeling? No. Love is an action. Love is a verb, something you do. When we love someone, the thing we find most is we want to be with that person. If you love your spouse, you want to be with that person. You want to spend time with them. So to love Jesus, we have to spend time with him. What does that mean practically? So here's we get into the practical side of things. It means that we devote some time each day to spend with the Lord. We shut out everything else and totally give that time to God. He has your undivided attention. And we make this a regular and consistent part of our life. So whether it's 15 to 30 minutes a day that's reserved for the Lord, or you give God more than that, 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, whatever it is in your life, you give that time to God, and that is his time. Nothing else can interfere with that. How do you do that? Well, make that time a priority. Priorities get scheduled. If you go into the whole time management philosophy of Covey, there we go, Stephen Covey and some of these other guys who are really big on life productivity, they'd say schedule the big rocks. And they give this really cool illustration where they'll have a bunch of sand, a bunch of pebbles, and then a bunch of big rocks. And all of that will fit in a single jar. And they say, if you don't plan things right, you won't be able to cram everything into your day that you need to. For example, if you start with the mundane, unimportant stuff that doesn't have to get done, hence the sand, and they pour it in the jar. And water. There's water as well. You pour the water in, then you pour the sand in, and then you pour the small pebbles in. We're going from less important to most important. And then finally try to get all the big rocks in there. They're not all going to fit. And so now you're stuck with, oh no, my day, I can't fit in all the stuff that I have to get done because I filled it up with all the stuff that didn't have to get done. And so they reverse that process. They take the same amount of stuff. They take the big rocks, they put it in the jar. Then they take the slightly less bigger rocks and they put those in the jar. Then they take the sand and they pour the sand in there and they shift it around, make sure it settles all nicely. And then they take the water, they dump it in, and it fits perfectly. So by prioritizing things right, you can fit a whole lot more into your day than you think you can. Well, time with God is a big rock. In fact, it is the biggest rock in your life. That is the one thing you need to plan on first. That big rock goes in before anything else. So make it a priority. Schedule a time. When will it be for you? I like to do mine in the morning. Some people are more in the evenings, some midday, some on their commute. This is different for everybody, when and how you schedule it, but you have to schedule a time. And then prepare for it. Prepare for it. Where will it be? Go ahead, put your Bible there the night before so it's there ready to go. Set your coffee maker to go automatically if you have a fancy one like that. Get yourself set up, prepare for it, and then balance prayer and Bible reading. Balance prayer and Bible reading. Time with God's a conversation. God speaks to us as we read His Word. We speak with God as we pray to Him. How fun of a conversation is it if one person does all the talking? Not much of a conversation. So balance your prayer and your Bible reading time, but pray first. That helps get your mind in the right place. Pray first. Read consistently. Don't skip around. I remember when I first started out, like, okay, I don't know where to start reading. So, well, here, Exodus chapter 9. And then the next day, let's try Psalm 123. And just flip around. Don't be like that. Be consistent. Start, if you don't already read your Bible consistently, John chapter 1. Just start there. Amen. John chapter 1. Amen. You can't go wrong reading the book of John. And then read one chapter a day. This is just ideas to start putting this into practice into your life. Keep a notebook handy. What is God saying to you through what you've read? I'm so guilty of this, of not keeping a notebook with me, that God will speak to me about something. I'm like, oh, God, that was good. Thank you for revealing this to me, but I don't write it down. 2-3 hours later, I'm like, oh, what was it that I read in my Bible? What did God speak to me about? What was that thing again? It meant something in the moment. It impacted my life, but I didn't write it down, and I forgot what it was a few hours later. So keep a notebook handy, something you can jot down what God's speaking to you about. Pray afterwards, asking God what He wants you to do with what you've read. God, I read this chapter. What am I supposed to do with it now? How do I apply that to my life? How do I become a better disciple based off of what I read? Be consistent. Short times each day are better than long times scattered out. 30 minutes every day, 15 minutes every day is a whole lot better than an hour twice a week. So be consistent. Expect interruptions. Oh, expect interruptions. The devil will mess with your plans. Oh, he loves to mess with your plans, so be ready for those. Be ready. Turn off your phone. Try to minimize the distractions to begin with. If you got little ones in the house, get up before them. Or wait till they're to bed and then do it. But anyway, find ways to minimize distractions and interruptions. But be ready for them. And then focus on the one you are meeting with, not the act. Make sense? Focus on the one you're meeting with, not, I'm reading my Bible. I'm a good Christian. Look at me, God, reading my Bible. Yay, where's my gold star? Focus on the one to whom you're going to meet, but not on the act of what you're actually doing. So what steps do you need to make today so you can start this tomorrow? What? You're giving us homework? Yes, I am. We are applying what we're talking about. We're applying the Bible. Why else do we go to church, right? All right, so what can you do today to start this tomorrow? Do you need to give up a 30-minute TV show? Do you need to get up earlier? Do you need to make a commitment to spend time with Jesus every day? Whatever it is you need to do to prepare today, So you're ready to go tomorrow. When you get home tonight, do it. Show your love for Jesus by spending time with Jesus. So there's love. Love produces something. Who remembers the second one? Love? Obedience. Yep, love produces obedience. Obedience comes from the love that we have for Jesus. Once our love for Jesus is there, we are going to want to follow his teachings. It's really that simple. Once you like truly love Jesus, you'll be excited to obey him. We'll want to do it. And the key to discipleship is lordship. It is obedience. Jesus doesn't want us to obey him just to be good. That's not the reason he wants us to obey him. You want to be a good person? Follow my rules. No. He doesn't want us to reduce obedience down to following just a set of rules. That's not why he came. He came to build a relationship. He came to have a relationship with you. Amen. He wants us to obey so that we put ourselves in a position that we can be part of what he is doing in the world right now. If we obey, we will find ourselves in places and situations where we see him working. If you look around in your life and ask yourself, man, I'm just not seeing God at work in my life. Well, ask yourself, how obedient are you being? How obedient are you to the Holy Spirit in your life if you're not seeing God work in it? You ever notice how some people always seem to see God doing huge things and we don't? I've heard conversations like that. This person, they're always talking about, man, God did this. I was going down the road and God did this in my life. Or I got to see God help this situation over here. And then I'm sitting there thinking like, man, why can't I ever see God do stuff like that? I'm always in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he was always in the right place at the right time. That's not what it is. It all comes down to obedience. They love Jesus so much that they'll do whatever he asks them to do. I think I've shared this testimony before. There was an individual, they were driving home, and they really felt God was telling them, stop into the store, pick up a gallon of milk, and take it to this lady's house. And they were like, this is weird. I've never had this feeling before. But they just couldn't shake it. They knew God was telling them to do it, so they did it. Like, okay, God, this is weird, but I'm going to do it. They go, they buy the milk, they drive to that lady's house. They knock on the door. Hey, a rather frazzled young mother opens the door, just kind of, you know, that wild-eyed look and hair frizzy, not all put together, and just having a hard day. And they say, God told me to bring you this milk. And the mother, the look on her face was just, went from confusion to just a huge, it's not like a sigh of relief, but just you can see relief flood all over her. She was freaking out because she had nothing to feed her baby. Nothing to give to the child. And so that milk helped feed that baby. You never know how God's going to use you to help somebody else. If that person wasn't obedient, they never would have got to experience that. They obey and place themselves where God can use them. So how can you start to obey the Lord? How can you incorporate obedience into your life? Obedience requires two things: knowing the commands of Christ and doing the commands of Christ. That's obedience. Know the command and then do the command. We know what he wants us to do because we are spending time with him and his word. We do the commands by obeying what he tells us when we're spending time with him. So what is one step we can take right now to know and do his commands? What is one step you can take today to become an obedient disciple? Love produces obedience, and obedience produces fruit. Our job is to obey the Lord. That's our job, to obey the Lord. When we obey, Jesus provides all we need to accomplish what he wants. Here's a familiar saying again. God doesn't call the equipped, He equips the called. So we don't have the excuse, well, Lord, I don't have the supplies to get the job done. Sorry, can't do it. No. If God told you to do something, He'll make sure you have what you need. He's not going to leave you hanging high and dry. God will give you what you need to accomplish His will. And those accomplishments are fruit. We obey and our families change. We obey and our schools change. We obey and our church changes. We obey and Jesus, He will produce the fruit. So love produces obedience. And through obedience, Jesus produces fruit. Love compels us to spend time with Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will want to spend time with Him. If you don't want to spend time with Him, you need to ask yourself how much you love Jesus. If you're truly just like, I really don't desire to spend time with the Lord. It's just not a desire I have. Okay, that may be true. So how much then do you love Jesus? Maybe you got to get that figured out in your life. Because love will compel you to spend time with Jesus. Our time with Jesus leads us to do what He wants us to do, and we obey, and He changes our world and those around us. This is what the practical life of a disciple looks like. Love, which produces obedience, which produces fruit. So are you ready to take a step up? Each and every one of us can take another step in our level of obedience to the Lord. There's not a soul in here that's exempt. Are you ready to take a step up? Are you willing to deny yourself so that Jesus can work through you? Are you ready to see the supernatural power of God at work in your life? Oh, what an exciting experience that is. Then we need to step up and make Jesus our number one priority. So if our musicians want to come at this time, we'll have a time of invitation. Challenging message tonight. Where are you at on your level of discipleship? Are you a disciple of Christ? If you're a Christian, you were called to be a disciple. How are you doing at it?